Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's main podcast. I am joined by stars of the show, Smarty and Luke. Smarty, how are you doing?
Oh, hello there. I'm very well, are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Luke, how are you doing?
Yeah, mate, not too bad. Looking forward to going down to London, the big smout tomorrow. Apples and pears and jelly deals and all that.
Fucking hell. Tell you what, we'll get an intro running, we'll get into it.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
I look like some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
It's a utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
So, I know we've talked about changing that intro and nothing spectacular, really, giving us a little bit of something. Regardless of whether we're doing well or not, because typically we'll either go, well, that's not true, is it? Because it was spectacular, and oh, we'll go, well, you know, that's true, isn't it? Because it wasn't spectacular at all. But, and Luke, I know that you were on the B&C after the Leicester game, weren't you? Just from a perspective of the way we felt at the end of that game, and we can get into the game a bit more, but Smarty, can you remember leaving a game in recent history quite as elated as you were against Leicester?
No, maybe slightly. Where's he? Has he just disappeared?
He's got, yeah, he froze for a little bit and then he's gone.
Has he? Really, yeah. Anyway, about to say, he's probably gone to practice his fucking Dick Van Dyke impression. do you know what? Maybe glimpses in our promotion season under Bielsa, but I don't think quite as high. You know, I remember the West Brom game, the Pablo Hernandez.
Pablo within goalie. 10 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, that were a quality atmosphere. A couple of the derby games in Bielsa's first season, you know, they were really good atmospheres. But, you know, on a whole, I don't think I'll ever top that, I don't think. And a lot of people, even when, you know, obviously we were for Becchio and stuff like that, you know, against like Millwall and other games, just you'll struggle to find a better atmosphere or, you know, fans more related than that, you know. And what a night. I've still not got over it, really. I think I'm still in like some sort of like, not because of what it was, just because of the ending, because you just cannot beat a last minute goal, can you? And we had three, and it was just brilliant. It was just fantastic. I couldn't stop smiling. I've only just probably got my voice back. I know you have, obviously, because you were squeaking at everyone again for a couple of days.
I was. But
what a time to be alive.
Just got mine back in time to go back to work, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I had to take it easy with meetings because I knew that if I pushed it, I was going to end up squeaking Mickey Mouse down teams meetings and whatever else going on. But yeah, you're right. I don't know if everybody caught the short that I put out from on Ilkley Moor Bar Tap, but yeah, there were no voice going on. I was just squeaking as best I could. Luke, I just want to touch on something. I mean, it is related to the game, but before we get into the Leicester game, and it's about the atmosphere. And I know that you and Ger and Kyle spoke about this. But just for anybody that didn't hear it, just from a perspective of watching it on telly.
So keep rubbing it in, my fucking daughter. You just told me it was the best night of your life, and now I'd watched it on telly. Nice one. Fucking hell.
So, but I heard what Jay was saying about watching it on telly, but from an atmosphere perspective, did it appear that it was just being turned down? Is that what it came across as?
Yeah, absolutely. You can tell they were fiddling with it because every now and then there'd be a little blip in the matrix and you'd just hear a roaring noise. Do you know, it was quite apparent. You know what? The first time I ever remember it being done was actually Histon away. And I went to Histon away and I remember recording it and watching the game back.
Didn't they take the mic into the stands?
We took the mic into the stands.
It went under. It was ITV, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was ITV then, yeah. But yeah, it was quite obvious that they were tinkering with the crowd noise and turning certain microphones down and whatever else. So yeah, look, don't be sucked into that. There was only what 3,000 Leicester fans there. Only they truly know what it's like and what it was like. Because the interesting thing actually about that though
don't leave us on tenterhooks like that.
Was people watching from abroad on it, and LUTV said they heard everything perfectly.
Yeah.
So it's Sky rather than actual the broadcast. Well, I suppose.
That's actually interesting, isn't it? Because it was Sky that were there doing that broadcast, so it wasn't actually done at the broadcast point. It was done as they were broadcasting it out. So it wasn't whoever was directing it during the recording, actually, it was then processing and when they were broadcasting it out. So that's quite interesting. We'll get into the game then. So if we touch on the first half, I think that it was relatively even if you look at the chances that came the way of each club that were playing. I think if you look at Pirot, he had a cutback that he put over. He had an header that, you know, were kind of unmarked. That the cutback, actually, Somerville was stood unmarked, about 5-6 yards away from him.
Could have quite easily squared that.
Yeah.
To be fair, it could have just swung and hit it with something else, and he'd have probably made a better effort of it, to be fair. It were really poor, that. If he just slides it in
bottom corner, top corner, whatever else, nobody thinks, well, Somerville were unmarked.
Is it first time though? I mean, obviously it's early in game, innit? So, you know, you're probably going to snatch at it a little bit, but, you know, a little bit more composure in that position, that's 1-0, innit?
Yeah.
It is. Because you'd back him to score because he's such a tight, like say, such a tidy finisher, is Pirou.
And that's who you wanted to falter, really, in that position. Mm-hmm. 12, 14 yards out? And he's popped it over. Nonto ran into the box, had ball at his feet. Never really got a shot away, but he had chances to shoot and he tried to beat another man. And Jimmy put one over as well, you know, where you would expect him to do better with it. It went into Rose Ed. Their goal, I would say, you know, it was just a nod on from a corner. It was a bit scruffy, but, you know, they finished it off, fair play.
I think that was a planned move. I think that was a training ground move. I think they hit it to the front post. The smaller the defenders, or whoever it was, but I think it was Pereira or Justin who headed it, sort of back headed it over. And I think that was a plan. I think that was a planned move. I think it was well. And I think there weren't really many people you could blame. Nonto's already heading in the opposite direction. I don't know why he's marking out face, by the way.
That's a bit of a mismatch, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, they whether train ground crafted or whatever else, they took advantage of it, and you know, that it is what it is. I think, but my take on it and that half, I thought that they looked more dangerous when on the ball. They were getting through our midfield, but never really carved open that many clear cut chances. I think if on balance of play, they looked more dangerous without actually threatening the goal. Is that how it felt to you guys?
I thought we'd probably started the better of the two sides for the first maybe 10, 15 minutes, maybe even 20. As soon as they got into the stride, they controlled major parts of the game. And I would argue that's the first time it's happened this season. And we rode it out well, I felt. You know, we still created the odd chance on the break. But yeah, up until I would probably say 65, maybe even 70 minutes until we got another foothold of the game. There was obviously little spells throughout. But I think on the balance, you know, if you're looking at the balance of the game, I would probably say overall it probably worked out about 50-50. But they had a real strong middle part of that game. And we had a great start and a great end if I was to break it up.
Yeah,
I had to write a few things down when I came home. Well, not came home, I think it was the day after, because you know what it's like when it's such a hectic. I mean, my head was pounding when I left Ellen Road. Like, I had a proper paradigm for a short time. I had to come and write things down because you forget a lot of it. You know, when you're so elated and stuff, obviously it just leaves you, doesn't it? You just remember small details and stuff. But I remember specifically from the substitutions, Nonto and Pirou coming off for Dan James and Bamford, that being the start of when we start to be a little bit more clinical. You look at how Bamford obviously moves his men around the field, which freed up Rutter a lot more. I thought Rutter were very poor in moments in first half, you know, probably trying to do a little bit too much. Maybe felt a little bit pressurised to do so, who knows. But, you know, once Pirou had moved off and Bamford comes on and he occupies and he moves those centre-backs around, it gives him a little bit more freedom. It gives him a little bit more space to do what he does best. And from that point, we looked a hell of a lot more dangerous, you know, just simply by bringing him on. And fair play to Farker as well, because we wouldn't normally see him kind of substitutions until probably a little bit later on than 64th minute. So, yeah, Robertson, obviously, for Firpo. And then Archer-Gray moved to left back. I thought he got well stuck in. And then Bosch, you know, 70th minute, we've got a goal. And then all of a sudden, Leicester are nowhere to be seen. And it's all us. The crowd gets on their backs.
It was the 80th.
It was that early, wasn't it? It was 80th, yeah.
Sorry, 80th minute. Sorry, I mean, I think he came on in 70th minute, didn't he? Sorry.
He had no right to be there as a right back, by the way, where he was, edge of the 6-yard box.
Well,
it's a right back.
Who cares, eh?
Well, no, I mean,
what are you doing there? Oh, he scored.
Yeah. It's obviously a plan that they've worked on, because he played right wing, didn't he, the other week?
Yeah.
Parker fancies him to be able to play either right back or yeah. Good player, man. I like him.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
I like him a lot. There is an element of I'm just gonna boot you if I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're running through on goal, I'm taking you out. And if you get ball past me, you're not going. And I don't mind that at all. There were a challenge quite late on, weren't there? We all went, oh, God. And then I went, actually, I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. Yeah, take him out. It's fine.
Stick it to
him. And do you know what? We are used to clubs doing that against us. You know, teams do target us. I think the point that you made about Rutter is an interesting one, because I think he got kicked absolute shit out of. They obviously targeted him. And I don't know how much of it is the impact of James and Bamford as individuals coming on making a real difference. Because it felt like that it shifted immediately, and it were almost like what had been done is, instead of two or three being on Rutter every time he's got the ball, one of them's being dragged away by Bamford, or maybe even both centre-backs. Yeah. You know, he's able to get that space. The shit scared of Dan James, so they've got to drop off, and all of a sudden there's threat in behind.
Nickhead had to chase him, and their other centre-back were literally side by side next to Bamford, and there were a hole in the middle of their defence.
Yeah.
Chowdhury, you know, Chowdhury with him, didn't he? That's which led to Archie. Right. Was it Archie Gray's goal? I think it led to. No, it wasn't. It was Conor Roberts. It was led to Conor Roberts' goal.
Yeah, because he'd taken them off out, and it was just Roberts, obviously, a fairly decent finish as well from him, to be fair.
He can't take anything away from Finney.
It just goes to show what Bamford brings to this team. You know, we've all been, you know, very, very.
Do you know what Conor Roberts reminds me of? A youthful Luke Ayling in the BL setup. He gets up and down that right flank.
Just like to get stuck in and stuff.
Yeah, and gets stuck in, gets a goal. He pops up in peculiar positions that a right back has absolutely no right to be in, pretty much. but he's also got a bit of a you know, shithousery about him, which I like as well. You know, just turn around and put both hands up to the sky as if he'd been here forever. It was like, I'm here now. Do you know
we,
what I mean?
We
I'm...
all lost our fucking minds. And he's just there like that going, yeah, that's what I do.
Did they, I think he was a bit of a shock, wouldn't he? Like, I don't really know what to do. And then it kind of dawned on him and he started running around a little bit then, didn't he? I was like, oh, obviously I didn't see that. I've only seen replays of that because I were underneath about 3-4 full in South Stand getting crushed. But yeah, but no, you know, you'd be surprised how high people can jump when in that fucking stand, mate.
There's or fall when they're coming down.
Flying, absolutely flying. It's just raining people and just like, oh Christ. But no, we've all been a bit, you know, we've slated Bamford a little bit, but you just it goes because, you know, it says for itself, doesn't it? You know, he just brings so much more to this team than Pirlo does at this moment in time, and you know, we need him. We need him up front. Because he just does the work that goes really unseen. But you know, obviously for those who are watching him every week, we can see what he's doing, and it's just ace.
And you're right, but I think it is right to call out all three of those subs that were made. I know Anthony came on late on, but it was 90 odd minutes. You know, Roberts had a pretty much immediate impact in it. Within 5 minutes of coming on, he'd scored. But James and Bamford for me were actually at the turning point, and I think we had a foothold in the game. I'm just going to pop it up now. I've got the momentum off SofaScore. So you can see actually that they were dominant in that first part of the second half. They were driving us back.
Being dominated for 80 minutes by Leicester narrative, though, does it? Because obviously,
it absolutely does not. No.
That's saying a little bit different, isn't it?
It is. Because I think that. Maybe on a shorter scale, actually, it's what Luke was saying. But we dominated the first part of the first half, and then they got a foothold in that. And then actually, it was us towards the end
that
of the first half.
You know, I felt very, very tentative at that stage. Towards the end of the first half, I'm surprised that. I mean, they've obviously got it right. They pay people to do this. Do you know what I mean? So to make these little bar charts, imagine that for a job. Just like, I think Leicester have got a bit more. I'll just put their bar a little bit further down.
I'm gonna drag this down. I wish
you reckon one of them gets paid. Bar chart man for SofaScore. I'm going to look it up.
But you know, that first part of the second half, they did have a lot of the ball, and there were a few times that when they got through, Melier's made a couple of cracking saves. They've really spooned it wide and an absolute terrible finishing, especially on the part of Daka. But the more opportunities and chances they missed, the more I felt, actually, I'm quite zen about this because it's going to come. And when you look at our bench and you look at the fact that we've got Paddy, we've got Dan James, and they're going to be scared of Dan James. You know, we've spoken before about when you can bring on somebody like that after an hour, defenses go, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, it wasn't enough already chasing Willy Nonto around. Now I've got to chase Dan James around. And he's going to kick ball at me, and he's going to try and get me sent off, and he's going to do that bit as well, you know.
Love that about Dan James. In fact, I love that about all the Welsh lads. They've all got that little bit of grit about them, haven't they? That, you know, that proper proud, they're proud men. You know, you've seen how the Welsh travel to the Euros and to World Cups and whatever else. They're almost an epitome of what we are in Leeds and as Leeds fans and as Yorkshire, their national side. Do you know what I mean? They're quite proud.
I'd go with that.
But I mean, I can't really, off the top of my head, think of, other than bloody Robbie Savage, who played for him, who isn't Welsh at all, but any sort of prima donna type players that they've ever had. They've always had players who get, you know, historically get stuck in, do the hard bits, do the hard graft week in, week out. And those lads that do that hard graft make the game so much easier for everybody else. Your Cree Somervilles, your Rutters, you know, and everybody else. Everybody else seems to benefit off the back of it. So, yeah, I welcome. I mean, I would play with the Welsh. I'd just sign the Welsh squad if we get promoted.
Just to touch on the point again about Rutter, I think the most impressive thing for me is he did get shit kicked out of him. He just carried on going. He did lose the ball quite a bit, especially in the first half. You know, it went into him. It wasn't held up and whatever else, but it didn't get him down. He still wanted the ball, and that's exactly what you need. And I think even when he's not having his best games, and I think he's had the official man of the match award, two matches on the bounce. It's been two of his weaker performances for me, but he's had a massive impact on the game. And if you look at all of the goals, he's involved in the build-up of every single one. all three of them, and you know, somebody else watching without having been able to see the impact he's been having on the games might have gone, do you know what, he's the person I'm going to take off, and we didn't, and he had influence, but I think it shows some real stones for him to get a kick in the way that he did, but also for him to not have the best touch in certain situations, but still want the ball and still drive at the opponents. And without him doing that,
it does frustrate me when he tries doing these stupid little things in our own half and gets tackled.
They're not halfway line and they're just in. Yeah.
That does. I mean, but he's still a young kid, and he's, you know, it's the first time he's ever played 10. Is this? I mean, he's probably only played there for half a season for us. I mean, it's the first time he's ever played in that role ever. And the things like that will come. He will know that he can't be doing that in the middle of the park. You know, he's used to playing left wing or striker. Now, if he does that anywhere on the field where a right winger or a striker should be, he gets away with it because he tends to be in their half. As a central, you know, a number 10 or an attacking midfielder, he's having to come shorter sometimes, you know, to help relieve whoever's playing in the middle, Kamara, or if Gruev's been pulled out of position. He does have to come a little bit deeper sometimes, but that's not the place to be playing fucking football and doing, you know, round the worlds and all that sort of shit. So yeah. And it'll come through experience. We do underestimate how young he is sometimes. I think
against a lesser opposition, you know, he gets away with it more, but when you've got Harry Winks and Pereira up your ass straight away, you know, those are two players, you know, like you've already alluded to, that you just do not want to be doing that sort of thing and making mistakes in them areas against them, caliber of players, because they will get on it and they will move the ball quicker. And like, you know, like we saw on Friday, they were quite efficient. You know, Harry Winks, I know we've all slated him a little bit, but he played quite well on Friday. The whole team, they're a good team. You know, they're at the top of the league for a reason, you know, but, you know, so are we. And we showed that on Friday. But yeah, Rutter, like you say, he's a young lad. I like to see him experiment with stuff like that. I'd rather him be brave on the ball and do them sort of things rather than, you know, cower away from it and not do it, because that's just not who he is. You know, he'll get away with it sometimes and sometimes he won't, but that's why we love him, innit? You know.
And that age thing, I think, is something that if you look across the side, actually, we are a young team. And you know, even the likes of Ampadu, who had armband and you know, plays like somebody that's got a wealth of experience, is in his early 20s. And you know, we're not a fully experienced team in certain situations, and that's what is impressive to me, that they'll come back and they'll have that character. And I think there is a lot of character coming through. Actually, touching on Pereira as well, Pereira and Winks being in that double pivot that they had really surprised me. Because I thought we'd see Pereira at fullback. And I think that they've had to make that change. We've pushed him into that because our midfield has been so dominant in previous games. And I think that's quite testament to the games that our midfielders have been playing. Jewsby was a cheating shit. I've not seen it back, but it did happen in front of me and it looked like a blatant dive to me. You guys seen it back? You know, Luke, can you give us an insight as to just how blatant a dive it was? Can you remember it?
Nah,
did anybody mention it afterwards?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
don't.
I think I've seen it been mentioned in that. I mean, he spent a lot of time on the floor, didn't he? But yeah, so it's hard to pinpoint actually which one we're on about here. But he absolutely was. Just, I mean, good footballer when he's on his feet. There's no denying that he's a good footballer. But I don't like to see that, mate. I don't like to see people putting themselves on the floor. I mean, you've only got to look at that fucking dickhead twat from Scum. Have you seen that shot of him where he takes a shot recently? Fernandez, he takes a shot, rolls around on the floor for what's probably 30 seconds. The ref looks at him.
Like he's doing his hamstring or something.
Yeah, like he's broken his ankle. Yeah. And then the ball, he stuck his ball straight back over and puts his hands up and he's passing me the back of the ball. Don't want to see that. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate, but it's part of modern day football now, isn't it?
It is. It's a shitty part of it, but it is. I think, so, Luke, you had an opportunity to pick your man of the match. Smarty and I haven't discussed it. Luke, can you remember who you said?
I do. I think I went for Medley. I think he made some important saves at important times during the game that could have seen them go potentially 2 or 3-0 up. So, I think he was really instrumental in that win, which ironically was he won us the 3 points at their place as well.
Yeah. They've been his two best appearances, I think, so far for us this season. Smart, who would be your choice for the man of the match?
Yeah, I didn't actually know who Luke's were. I didn't make it that through on the pod the other night. But yeah, Melia, two fantastic saves. And it, like you say, he seems to be growing in confidence as well. But yeah, he had a great performance on Friday. Very well. Played very well, should I say.
Fairs. I'm not. He's in my top three, and I think it was a good performance, and we needed them saves that he made. My top three were him, Ruta, but my man of the match were Ampadu, because I think he would have won out of everybody that were trying to drive us forward and were trying to make a difference. And I thought that Gruev didn't have his best game for us, but actually what we saw him doing is drop a lot deeper, and actually that allowed Ampadu to then carry forward, and I think that did a lot for us. So yeah, I think for me it were Ampadu, but purely on the basis that he was the one that was trying to make things happen. He had the armband on. He was trying to drive us forward and build out from there. And I think that made a big deal. That made a big difference to us on the night, I think.
Kamara did very well.
Do you know what I love?
Unsung
I love that shimmy
night,
he does.
Actually.
You know when balls drop, the
shoulder drop. Yeah,
that little.
Yeah, it's amazing. Because you can watch him doing it and you can watch somebody trying to read it and then do something about it. And he still just turns around and he's got 5 yards of pace, space around him.
Sold Dewsbury all a belt to one of them as well.
He did. He did. He did winks with another one.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Yeah, he's very classy.
He can go either way as well, can't he? Because I don't think he's two-footed. I think he's, you know, but... He will go one way or the other, and you can't read it every time. And I think that's an inherent ability that he's got that gets him some space, and then he can pick a pass.
Like you say, he likes to interchange between feet. He's predominantly right-footed, but he don't mind putting it onto his left to, like you say, do a shimmy or to move it.
Sends him for an hot dog every time. Every time they fall for it.
So good at that.
Yeah. So, agreed. Like I say, I did want a bit of a hat nod to Rutter because he played without fear and actually we needed him to do that. For me, I just think Ampadu just edged it in front of him and Melia on the night. Just to touch on Farker as well, you made the point, Smarty, about the changes and when they were made and that sort of thing. I think if we look at the gaffers that we're up against and you look at Farker and just the way that they're behaving, you know, after full time, I don't know if you've seen it, but after full time in Saints game, their gaffer's walking around ignoring players, trying to shake his hand and whatever else, and he's kicking off at ref. Obviously, we saw Ampadu with his huge game in tunnel afterwards, and he was taking piss out of Maresca, the bald fraud, which I can say because I'm bald, so I can say that, he's a fraud because he's losing it. So I think we're in a position now where not only are we the side that's picking up 3 points every game at the moment, but we're also overseen by a gaffer that just knows what he's doing at this point in the season. You know, if you look at Norwich a couple of times, the couple of times that he got promoted, I think it built and built and built over the course of the season. We're already in a strong position and we are now seeing that come to the fore. I mean, he just seems to have that innate ability or that knack to get sides playing exactly when he needs them to. I think just on that, we'll come on to the remaining fixtures and we'll just have a bit of a talk about that across the four that are going for automatic promotion. But one thing I just wanted to touch on, I don't know if you've seen, in fact, Luke, I know that you've seen one of them, but there were a couple of videos shared. There were one, somebody had taken their old man along and, you know, he was struggling to stand, but you could see the joy on his face and the joy on the people around
him.
Is that the guy
that had dementia?
98-year-old guy with dementia. Doesn't remember his
Can't
family
remember
and
anything.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Start singing Marching On Together.
But the feeling still is true and you could see it on him. And there were a couple of videos. There were another one as well across, I don't know if they were in Cheese or in family stand near Cheese, but there was somebody else that were telling a similar tale of, you know, my dad's a bit elderly and infirm, struggles to get out sometimes, but actually when he's here, it's that feeling and that those emotions and stuff that they're just not getting anywhere else, and they're able to get out of that. And I think it just, you know, without being a bit trite and a bit soppy about it, it just shows that actually when it's a dad and a son that maybe they won't talk about a lot of other stuff. It just pulls that together. But equally, it can stay with people throughout their entire lives. And I think it just means that bit more. And I think that's a really important element of it, is it's not just about getting the results. It's also about the people and the story. And I think, you know, during close season, one of the things that I miss about match day is actually seeing the mates, you know, getting in Peacock and seeing my mates beforehand. And
it's why we go, isn't it? It's all about making memories. Like, do you know what I mean? Whether it's, we can all remember games that we've been to where we've been absolutely dire and should have beaten teams. We can all remember games that, you know, we can all remember celebrating with certain people and that. And it is just taking it all in. And that, you know, that can never be recreated. It's something that can never be recreated falsely unless you're actually there living it. And to see those, I haven't seen the second one, Gilly, but the first one you talked about, man, when as soon as I saw that, I read the caption, I thought, I'm gonna cry. I thought it was, I just knew from the caption, like, you know what I mean? Because, like, yeah, just, yeah, it was beautiful, man.
It was. It really was.
Very, very heartwarming.
It is.
You know, it's like when that little bit of, that stimulation, that bit of adrenaline that you get, the tingles everywhere that you get when you're in the stadium, you're singing Marching On Together, or a decision might not be going our way or whatever, and you get up off your seat. I mean, obviously you're studying at South Stand and Cop anyway, but you know, you feel that embodiment. You know, as a fan and everyone around you, you just, you know, as one. You know, and it's just incredible. It's really, really powerful. And to see him stand up and sing Marching On Together, like, it would just. And it's nice for the family to see that as well, you know, because he'll be, you know, I don't know what sort of state he's in at home and all that sort of stuff, but to see the smile on his face, to see him singing and that must be an absolute wonderful sight for his family as well, for him to experience that with him.
So, exactly, you know, that. Play. And it does, it just brings people together. And I think that's, you know, Bielsa United, people have spoken before, Bielsa united the city and brought people back in love with a club that had become disassociated from it under previous ownership and whatever else. And I think this is kind of a continuance of that. And there's been a couple of comments made in the chat just around about Bielsa would approve of Farke and all of that sort of stuff. And I think it's because of that. It's because of that emotional connection. And that's the important element. But yeah, so it just means that much more. So I wanted to move us on. So I am going to make an apology at this point. I haven't done the predictions. I was getting us ready for pod.
It's the only reason I joined. The only reason I came on tonight to see how I'm doing in that league. I just want to address something in the chat. This isn't a Burger King window headset. Basically, what's happened is, these fucking things have run out of battery and I can't find my charger. It's one of them really old, not even really old, but you know, like USB. The old USB type charger, but not the new USB type C ones. So
Micro USB, that's what you're on about.
Micro USB, yeah.
So I can't find one. So I went for
everyone had 50 in the shit drawer, and now they've got none because it's all USB C and shit.
Do you remember the even thicker versions of them before that used to charge stuff? So they're a bit deeper.
Yeah. Ooh, deeper. Yeah, like a camera one.
Deeper. Yeah, like a camera. Yeah. For a Fuji film.
Hello, you are through to the Auto Know Better switchboard. How may I direct your call?
I'm not using the mic, though, so that's why I keep trying to move it and hide it so people don't think I'm on Star Trek.
Right, okay. I have something in mind, but I haven't put anything in the brand for it. So, I just want to move us on to something that I've just hidden away from us, and there it is.
Plus, have you got a...
Hey, I've got a shit tick this week, my little spatter fact.
Sorry, pal, I don't have any
pressure. Sorry, I know there's a bit of a delay in there. I'm going to say, is it like a Babe Station headset or something like that? Bloody jammy with his comment in there.
Start shaking my phone at screen.
That's it. Get a bottle of
Not that I've ever watched out. It. Not that I've ever watched
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. 12 o'clock. Have you ever seen that one with a guy messaging saying, I'm only paying so I can message this. I can't find my remote. Just hide. My missus is coming downstairs.
Have you not seen the one where rings and asks where she's got the fairy lights from or something around the curtains? He rings up and says, "Hey, I just ring it up. Where did you get them fairy lights from round your curtains? I've been looking for something like that from all over."
Oh Christ!
Bald station.
Bald station.
What was that called last night, Smarty?
Bald slaphead muppet or something.
Bald slaphead muppet.
I got called big eared queefy boy or something like that.
Queefy or quiffy, because that's quite queefy. Different.
No, I called him a queefy afterwards. He called me queefy boy. I said something about some queef.
No, we'll leave that just there, Luke. I don't think Danny's in tonight, so we've got nobody. Yeah. But I'll probably get a DM off him in a minute.
Only balls.
Smart, if you ever do go bald, you are fucked, mate. Anyway, by the way,
I know. Of that head. Hey,
look at that Swede.
I know. Luckily, I there's no history in my family. I look like a fucking cotton bud. I'll go white at some point.
Yeah, it'll be funny though.
Yeah,
you look like a cornhead. Dan Aykroyd and cornheads.
So moving on. So we are on the shit take of the week. So I've got something in mind, but I'll come to you guys first. Marty, you got anything for us?
Do you know what, mate? I had that many. I've decided to just talk about them a little bit before. And it's basically the majority of the Leicester fans' tweets over the weekend. I've never, ever encountered a more salty, fucking sore-assed fan base in my whole entire life. And it's been absolutely glorious. And I know that all three of us have been having a lot of fun with it over the last few days. I think it came to a bit of a head with, in fact, some bloody me and Luke were going in on some frigging Villa fan who were in our chat, LUFC main. I think like, we're a Championship team now. What the frigging hell are you doing?
Leave us alone.
You know what, I mean? You know what are you doing here? That's where they're called Baldy Slapper.
They're playing Ajax away next week in Europe, and they're in Leeds United mentions. Get a grip.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is we're not famous anymore.
Back up and piss off. Absolutely. But yeah, there's just absolute tears everywhere, you know, and the fucking meaningless point scoring and a few of our guys, obviously, you know, there's a few of our lads out there that are knocking up memes and videos and all sorts of shit. Nice little edits here, there, and everywhere. They've been on absolute strings, and it's just been glorious. But there's too many. There's literally too many. We'll be here all frigging night. It'll be about an hour and a half chuffing long, this pod. But yeah, Leicester
and that's
fans.
Why there's no in the brand, because that's exactly where my head was on it, and I was like, how do I choose one of them? I've got no idea where to start. There's just so many.
I think the favourite one for me was that I can remember is the how silent it was until we scored, and then we shared a video, but pretty much went viral, didn't it? The video from 3 miles away of everyone singing marching on together, and actually being able to hear it word for word, like, you know, so. Yeah, just salty out there. They've got singing sections and clappers, and do you know what I mean? Atmosphere, do you know what I mean?
Clappers and drums. And... Saints have got goal music. It's just tragic.
It is tragic. It's proper tin pot, isn't it? That's manufactured atmosphere. And the point is, we just don't need it. You know, when Elland Road is bouncing like it was, there's just nothing like it. And that's because it's not manufactured.
No, absolutely. But the thing is, like, when you look at these podcasts and these, you know, these little, you know, vlogs and people, you know, in their away end, you can't get the full force of the Elland Road crowd through a tiny little camera phone. You're not going to get it. You get what's immediately around you. And you know what it's like? You know, if we're in full swing in, like, South Stand or whatever, you cannot hear anything. You can't hear Gelded, you can't hear Cheese, you can't hear away fans, because the noise is all around you. So they wouldn't have known anyway. You know, there were pockets of us, you know, going a little bit quiet or whatever. It's to be expected. You know, we were losing 1-0. But as soon as we equalised, and a fair bit before that as well, it was just Leeds. There was not a frigging peep from them. Not a peep from them. And then when we went 2-1 up, that's when people started leaving. And 3-1, I think pretty much three quarters at Standard emptied.
Yeah.
What a fucking brilliant support they brought. So, you know, it's bullshit, most of it. It's absolute bollocks. In fact, I've got videos of us actually having a good time in about frigging 50th, 60th minute as well on my phone that I could show. Look, you know, this is what it was like, but whatever.
Johnny Brown's right. All the sang was "We shall not be moved," but then started walking out when second goal went in.
Yep.
It is the worst. You know, I was watching him. I was directly opposite him. I was watching him. I was going, "We shall not be moved." Really? That's all you've got to sing? And it was all time. You know, when that went... When that goal went in, it went off, didn't it? And it were a case of, well, they're going to wilt under this, and they did. And it was. But, Luke, have you got any others other than just the absolute meltdown of Leicester fans?
Nah, not particularly. I think they deserve it this week.
Fairs. Definitely. Okay. No, that works. So I think just because we've got a couple of games.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Games, let's get into them now. So before we've got another main podcast, we've got the Chelsea game and then we've got the dog botherers. So let's get into Chelsea game and just what we see as an expected lineup. Luke, I'll come to you first. So it would be a difficult one anyway if you look at the impact that the subs had when they came on as to whether you don't change a winning team because we've started with an 11 and then we've won the game, or you go with the subs coming on anyway. But given that the league is almost certainly the main priority, not the only priority, but the main priority, what sort of lineup do you expect to see? Major changes or tweaks?
Yeah, where are you going? I think Farker's played a bit of a clever game in his most recent press conference with saying that players have got knocks and things, and even if they've got a tiny knock, I think he probably would have risked him in the league. Whereas I think he's almost setting an expectation early doors to what team we might see down in London. Look, I'm going. I don't care what the result is. I would love to go through, but I also would I be happy to see the under 21s play against Chelsea and come away as, and I get this momentum thing, and I get it, and look, Chelsea are going to be leggy. They're going to probably rotate a lot of their team, and it's a good opportunity for us to go down there and actually go into the next stage of the cup. But my priority is that league. But we just don't know if Farko, he could play the same starting 11. And I know he's mentioned that people have got knocks and that. I think, to me, that's just setting a precedent and setting an expectation that you're not going to be seeing these players line up. You know, he's named all the favoured front four in James, Rutter, Somerville and Bamford all picking up niggles. Now, is that by chance, or is it just that actually those... those four will be playing against Huddersfield at the weekend. Do you know what I mean?
And they're on a little tiny things as well, aren't they? Like Bamford's got a calf / ankle injury, as a doubt.
I can't tell where it is. It's that bad.
Yeah.
Dan James has a bruise.
In contention despite bruising. Somerville Rill's ankle may also be a doubt. Rutter, hip flexor issue, so a late decision to be made on him. And both Sam Byron could be back in the squad. I think that's pretty much all of the injury stuff covered, but...
Bremner's tactical sick notes, and it almost takes away him taking scrutiny for disrespecting the cup if none of those travel, which would be arguably our best front four. We have to shoot, guys. I'll be back.
Yeah, no worries.
Phoenix, nice.
You play with feathers, you get your ass tickled.
Brilliant. He's got a phoenix now. He does look a bit like Brian Potter, doesn't he? Maybe a bald.
Okay. So I'm glad I asked him first, given that he's jumped off. Yeah. And he's only going to be 5-10 minutes. So if he's back by the time before we jump off, then I'll let him give a bit of an indication as to what he's been doing. But so Smarty. I don't know whether Chelsea have now qualified for Europe by virtue of being in the final, because Liverpool are certain to qualify for Europe. So actually, it might not be quite as significant to them as otherwise it might have been if that gets them into Europe. But
Farke did mention that in his conference today, that it's their opportunity. It's their opportunity to get into Europe, which was kind of a dig at them as well, saying that the league position is obviously a little bit a little bit wanting or whatever. So it is, you know, for them, and you know, a win is quite important for them if they want to even be playing European football next year. So they will be taking it
so
serious.
They haven't qualified then?
No. I don't believe so.
But so they were in the final, and Liverpool will qualify by for the Champions League by virtue of their league position. So yes. Surely they should have qualified for Europe by virtue of being in the final at the weekend?
Don't know.
Maybe that puts them in conference and they just think that that's beneath them.
Yeah, possibly.
So, I asked Luke the question, but in terms of the lineup, I think we've pretty much covered that and the injury situation and so on. But if we consider the game that we've just had and the game coming up against the Dog Botherers, which is their cup final, there's no two ways about it. They might deny it, but it really is. They would love to be the team that stops us breaking the record of consecutive wins at this level.
Yeah.
Just how much emphasis do we put on the cup? And actually, if we don't get tonked, do you care about us being knocked out? If it means we can carry the momentum into the league game?
This will divide opinion amongst the fan base, literally 50-50, because there are so many people that have said, yeah, would love to go on a, you know, sod the league, would love to go on a cup run. And you can caveat that, well, if we don't do anything in the league, you know, players will leave, etc., etc. It won't leave us in a good position for next season. So personally, I think it's pretty much my championship mantra is sod the cups, concentrate on the league. It would be nice to go down to Chelsea and beat them. However, if we were to get... I wouldn't like to be stuffed. I'd like to give them a game. I think we're more than capable of giving them a good game, especially to see where their heads are at, obviously after the weekend's loss to Liverpool. But I'm not bothered either way. If we win, great. If we lose, don't give a shit. You know, I'd love to keep the winning streak going. You know, but as long as we keep the winning streak in the league going, then that's more important. But we cannot lose to the town next weekend. That'd just be unbearable. I've told you this before, I work with a lot of town fans. And I didn't really lay anything on them when we absolutely tonked them at home. I kind of give them a little bit of a free breath. But you can absolutely guarantee the tidal wave of shit that will be waiting for me at the door when I get in there on Monday, if we were to even... But even draw with them, you know, they'll be like, oh, mighty town have stopped you and done whatever. Like, yeah, you haven't beaten us, but you know what. But yeah, the league is 100% more important for me than the cup.
Yeah.
We just need to carry this momentum going forward. We need to put everything we have into the league. Play the fringe players, play a couple of kids if you like, swap a lot of stuff around. Have fun. Go down there and have some fun. It's an opportunity for the young kids to go and play some, you know, Premier League players. Some good, they've got a lot of quality in their squad. You know, is it a good marker? I hear a few people cry. Not really. You know, we're a championship team. We've got some good quality players, but they're a much higher branch of quality out there. You know, the, you look at the squad that they've got and the players that they've got.
The amount of money they've spent.
It's just ridiculous. You know,
it really is.
Saying, is it a good marker for next season? No, because I would expect us to have a lot more quality players in there next season. So, not really. But, you know, let's just go down there and have some fun tomorrow. And not let it weigh us down too much if we lose, I think.
Yeah, no, that's fair, and I think there is a bit of that, isn't there? If we reflect on what Bielsa told us, is don't be too high after a win and don't be too low after a defeat, and I think that is actually right at the moment. I think to counter that though, what we have to do is make sure that we are not. This is not Marsh enjoying moments, but you know, when we do get those wins, you know. There's absolute joy vacuums that have been on Twitter as well going on.
Fun sponges.
Yeah. Why are you celebrating so much? You're celebrating like you've won the league. And it's like, no, hang on a minute. It was second versus first at our place. And we were 1-0 down after 80 minutes. And we've won 3-1. If you cannot celebrate that, what are you doing watching football? Getting to somewhere else.
I don't give a shit if it's Leicester. I don't give a shit if it's Plymouth, if it's Huddersfield, if it's Wednesday. I mean, there's probably a little bit more in it if it's a derby, because it's a derby at the end of the day. But I go mental regardless of who the opposition is, regardless of where who we're playing. It's just 3 points, it's another 3 points. 3 points is 3 points, whether it's against Leicester, whether it's against friggin' Rotherham, it don't matter. You celebrate them 3 points because you know that you're moving forward in the league, you're progressing, and all these people say, oh, I can't believe you're celebrating that much, like you've won the league already. It's just meaningless point scoring. Sorry. Meaningless point scoring. It's just bollocks. I don't have any time for it. They'd be, you know, you look at Maresca's comments, oh, it's, you know, it's one game for us, or just another game for us, and it's a huge game for them, or whatever.
Yeah.
Fucking get a grip. The whole fan base was saying how much of a frigging massive game for us. You look at every single blogger and every dickhead on YouTube that's out there.
This is the big one.
This is a massive game. This is the biggest game of year. Well, do you want to tell old fucking Baldisaurus Rex over there about it then? Because apparently it's just another game for you guys. You know?
Well, and how could it ever be when it's first against second? It's always going to have a bit of extra spice when it's top two.
When we've got the opportunity to take some points off you and close that gap even further, that is a massive game. And yeah, those 3 points are absolutely huge because they can extend it to either 9 or we can cut it down to 6. So it's, you know, 12.
Well, no, it would have been 12, yeah.
To, yeah, yes.
And then so, I think everybody would have just accepted, right, they've won the league.
Yeah.
Everyone
said it.
That game.
Pundits have said it. If we'd have lost that game and they'd have gone to 12 points above us, they'd have gone, right, that's Leicester done. Consider them done. However, it didn't, and it worked the other way. And it's like that we've dragged them right back into contention for the first and second spots. It wasn't too long ago when I said, and I publicly said on Twitter, and I got ridiculed, and there are so many bookmark tweets on Twitter that I've got, ridiculed for saying that first place is not a done deal yet. And this were in January, maybe end of Christmas. And I said, the first place is not a done deal. And it would reply to that dickhead Saints account that was saying, whilst now that we're out, we're out of the running. Whatever. It would reply to that. And I got ridiculed by our own fans. So, mark my words, I will have
so I just,
fun with that first case.
While you're mentioning our own fans, I just want to say, because I didn't really want to rub it in while Luke was on with us, because clearly he's a bit upset that he's missed that one. But fucking hell, I did not talk on here about just how much that meant. Because that was fucking brilliant. So I was in the North East Upper, which I'd absolutely slated the last time I were there. And they do sit down and there's not much chanting going on. I tell you what, it wasn't like that this time. It was fucking brilliant. And not only that, but I was looking down on everyone. And you could see when it was let's go fucking mental, it was just insane. It was
there were just
bits of people flying everywhere. The West Stand were bouncing. The East Stand were bouncing. It was just...
I don't think the East Stand had sat down all game. No. I've never seen that. I've seen, like, obviously, you've got people with phones and you see a few little clips here and there on people in the crowd and stuff like that. The whole East Stand was stood up and you never see that. And the let's go fucking mental, blah, blah, blah. You know, we've seen other accounts, you know, opposition fans taking pictures and taking videos of the South Stand doing it, but the whole stadium was doing it. You could literally feel the stand rocking. In South Stand. It's an old stand anyway, so, you know, they'd be careful probably. But it were absolutely bouncing, and I just thought, what must people think? Can you imagine?
What must Connor Roberts think? He's come from Burnley.
Exactly.
Just imagine if he has to go back. I hope we sign him because I love him already.
Imagine being on the Leicester bench, or you know, Parag Manth were in there going absolutely off his tits as well, you know, really enjoying himself. You know, you imagine being Leicester and there and seeing that, you just think you'd be so envious, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you're top of the table. You come to second, you've absolutely spunked a bloody 1-0 winner, 1-0 lead away by some fucking dickheads who you've dominated for 80 minutes, and you've lost 3-1. I mean, what? You know, see you later, lads. Thanks for coming. Cheers for 6 points, your bell ends. Off you pop.
Yeah.
It's like,
it was brilliant. So I just, So one thing that I did is I asked everyone, but not everybody did respond. So I asked everyone for just
who didn't respond by any chance?
He's in the comments. I'll let him out himself. So I asked each of the members of our pod chat, which includes myself, yourself, Luke, Jay, Carl, and Bren, who is a backing singer that's been with us from the start. And we will try and get him involved a little more. But so one thing that I asked is just I sent the remaining fixtures for Leicester, Leeds, Saints, and Ipswich to each of the guys in the pod chat. And I just said, I don't need a breakdown of results and whatever else. I just want you to tell me how many points each of those teams are going to get between now and the end of the season. And what I've done is I've averaged that out. And then I've taken that and applied it to the points that we've already got, just to give a bit of a projection of where we think each club is going to finish, what points they're going to finish on. So the average that we had for Leicester from this point to the end of the season was 20.4 out of 36. That's how many points as a group we expect them to get. Leeds was higher than that. We were on 26.6 out of 36. Saints were 20.6 and Ipswich were 21. And if you apply that to Leicester's current points total, 78, ours is 72, Ipswich is 72 and Saints is 67. What that gives us is, and we'll go in reverse order, that would mean Saints finishing on 87.6, so 88. It would see Ipswich finish on 93. It would see Leicester finish on 98.4. And it would see Leeds finish on 98.6.
Oh, it's tight.
Just read them back to me. I missed them just at the start. Sorry.
You're really quiet. I don't think your mic's on. But yeah, I will.
I think it's that mic that's it's pointing to your Leeds, again. Your KFC mic. Your sex chat.
Is that
your sex chat, yeah. Mike? That's fair.
That sounded better. Just a quick recap. So Leicester are currently on 78. We're on 72. Ipswich on 72. Saints on 67. Our average as a group was 20.4 for Leicester, 26.6 for us, 20.6 for Saints, and 21 for Ipswich, which leaves Saints on 88, Ipswich on 93. Leicester on 98.4 and Leeds on 98.6. It's going to be tight. It is going to be tight.
It's not tight. It's not right.
So, one thing that we did do is we've messaged, just moving on from that, we've messaged a friend of the podcast, Luke, slid into his DMs earlier. Do you just want to tell us what day it is today, Luke?
It's Leeds United icon from my younger years and from through I remember the Terminator. He just such a good player, wasn't he? It's his birthday, by the way. Sorry, yeah, it is.
Roberto Molinar.
Yeah, Roberto Molinar. It's his birthday today, so sent him best wishes. And I asked him if he wanted to pop on if he got a chance, and he said unfortunately not able to tonight, but I'll catch up with you later on in the year. Good luck with the podcast. And then he sent me a picture and a video of him with his family inside the ground in the West Stand on Wednesday night. Bless him. Friday night. Yeah, it's Wednesday night, tomorrow night. That's when we're playing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's such a nice guy, man. Comes with me. I think it was yourself and I, Smarty, who interviewed Robert when he came on. Probably a couple of years ago. I started listening to it back earlier, but man, we were shit. I mean, we're not much better now, but we were really shit then. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Really, really shit. But I think the fact that we had so many guests on at the time, they really helped us, you know, with things. But it's his birthday, so many happy returns and happy 55th birthday, Mr. Roberto Molinar.
Yeah, happy birthday. Excellent. So just to move us on, is a bit of this.
Auto No Bitter with Rachel Adedeji.
Oof.
Now, before I
is this
get
what you were
this,
doing? Is this what you were doing before you should have been doing the predictions?
Well, I was doing it all. I was putting those projections of the.
Because I do love. I would rather do a gilly rant than the predictions. So please.
So before I get into it, is it what?
Did I do my predictions? How do you want to?
No, I've not actually taken predictions for the Town game yet.
I'm on about the table.
So we'll come on to that. Yeah, we would talk about the fixtures and the projections to end the season. We will grab predictions before we're done. But yeah, before I get into it, have either of you two got anything that you want to get off your chest at this point?
I have only a very little one, and it's not really football related. It's around about other content creators creating, and it's happened, and it's happening, and it's more about people certain people within the content creation world, and not necessarily just Leeds fans, I don't suppose, but they have been very, very vocal when things have not been going too well about how Farker should be leaving and how shit he is. Now, if you go on to said content creators' videos, those videos have now been removed. Own it.
Really?
Own it.
Anyone we know?
No, we're not. We won't name
names. We're people, not getting into that, might, are we not?
Do it. Do it.
No, it. I'm not naming names. things are going really well.
Taking names and keeping receipts.
Yeah, keeping receipts. I'm actually blocked by these people as well, and I still managed to get some receipts.
You better tell me what it is after this.
I will do.
I think there have been some horrendous takes that have been had here and elsewhere, but we own ours. You know,
absolutely.
Smarty hated Cooper, and then he loved him, and then he hated him again and said he never rated him at all.
And United blew him
around.
I hate everyone, to be fair.
You own him. You got to own him. Look, stick by it. Look, we're all. I don't mind somebody changing their mind and changing their opinion over the length of the season, but actually to go in and delete videos and things as if you've never said it, you know, as if it's not there, it can't
so
be
it
seen,
can't so come back at you, so other people can't come back and use it against you. Just fucking own it. I mean, look at our bloody intro. It's full of fucking idiot sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a utensil player.
Mate, you know, Rutter's been one of our best players this season, and I said he wasn't even a footballer before the season started.
You said it's below championship level is what you said.
Yeah. But, you know, That's what I felt at the time. So I stand by it because I wasn't lying about the way that I felt about it at the time. But, you know, now you go, well, I was wrong.
if your opinions can be changed, it just means you're growing as a person.
Is that what it is?
So.
Bless. Let me just share this
really, really quickly. Mr. Dodo has just
hey, this is Star Trek.
No, it's better than that. Because of my ringtone, he's decided to add me to Potter's wheelchair. Well played, Mr. Dodo. Well played.
All right, inside.
That might have been my fault that I did call you Brian Potter when she left.
Right. I am going to get into it. So I'm just going to start off by saying I don't give a fuck that they booed the national anthem. I absolutely do not give a shit. It doesn't matter one iota to me whether they like it or not. I don't like it. It matters zero to me. It's it's about somebody that doesn't exist supporting somebody that I have nothing in common with. That's just super rich and has no idea or impact on my life. I don't give a shit about that at all. What I do give a shit about is this bullshit about Klopp's kids. Klopp's won silverware with kids. Now, if you look at the lineups and you look at the average age before subs, after subs, actually Liverpool's average age was 2 years older than Chelsea's. So right from the outset, you can fuck off with the Klopp's kids. The other thing is, they haven't come through the fucking Liverpool youth system anyway. They've just poached them from other clubs and gone, yeah, okay, we've got some kids here that are going to have big futures. And they've spunked shitloads of money on them. It's just buying that fucking success. It's not Klopp's kids because he's not had the influence on their junior career and brought them through their youth system and whatever else.
What a couple that were Harvey Elliott, I think, was. Like 16, 17. But, Harvey Elliott was 16, 17 from Fulham. They were a couple. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah, but just during the game...
Before you continue.
Yeah, go on.
Did you know that Chelsea's starting and finishing 11 was younger than Liverpool's?
Yeah, I literally just said that. But thank you for your input. Yes.
well done for listening. Well,
the headset is. I told you.
I don't want fucking popcorn chicken. Piss off.
Sorry, I had a look at the cost of the midfield. So Cara, during the commentary of the game, actually said, and this is what it's about. It's not about money. And I'm sat there and I'm going, hang on a minute. You've got Caicedo, you've got just. I looked at the cost of the two midfields and it was over 400 million euros just for the central midfields, not the wingers, not everything, just the central midfielders was over 400 million euros for Chelsea and Liverpool. And I'm thinking, how can you say it's not about the money? They are both there by virtue of the fact they can just spunk shitloads of money on players.
What?
You don't need no money,
All right, okay, singing.
I thought you were back on Babe Station for a second there, just singing to someone down his little headset.
Well, it is Simon Johnson. There we go. Dan's and Bradley, I think, were the two that were there from your age. Yeah, do you know, fair enough. But this commentary about it being Klopp's kids and this underlying thing about it not being about money and all of that, no, they can just fucking get in the bin.
Jürgen,
absolutely Jürgen Klopp. Fucking
I can't
bin.
Wait till he fucks off, mate. I hate him.
Special club.
I hate him.
Fucking special, lad.
And the other thing is, hopefully will be the last time I mention him, but the other thing is fucking Rads, because it's been 2 years since they made the biggest fucking mistake they could have made and got rid of the best man that's currently in football. Bastards. I saw that today.
Pierre-Michel Lasoga.
Get in box, you fat.
What do you have to do with David Baye?
Currently in football. Yeah. Back to predict. So it wasn't quite the classic Gilly rant, but that they did piss me off. So I am going to go back round because I wanted to capture them. So Huddersfield Town prediction.
Who's top of the league?
I am.
Okay.
And I've gone 4-0.
You know.
We're going to absolutely batter them. Yeah, right.
We are going to batter them.
Me and Brent.
Between us, it is Smarty, yes.
But this is obviously prior to the points being added from this weekend.
It is, it is what it is. We'll sort that out when we can. So, Smarty?
I think I'm going to go... I think I'm going to go 2-0.
Okay. Luke?
They've been a bit of form, haven't they, at minute? I think they've been playing.
Well,
they've
won one game, I think.
Yeah, that's form for them.
Oh, yeah. 100% record, it last one game.
Let's go. Top of the league
It has to be 5 or 6. It can't be 10. Just so you know. Fucking have that argument this bastard week and all. Fucking some twat fucking commenting on them. Fucking what a bloody average form guide. Oh, it's got to be 5. It can't be 6 or 10. So, you know, it's like,
yeah,
fucking shut up.
That would
anyway,
me.
We digress.
I'm going for...
I would in that one, won't I?
Yeah. I'm going for a killer whale.
An orca?
No, do you want to see what it is?
I have no idea what that is. That's
we
new
won.
To me, is that?
Free Willy. We won.
All right, yeah. Okay. Fucking hellfire. Christ.
The free one.
And the first
this is what
one
he does.
I saw...
He thinks up of these little sayings while he's doing his Dick Van Dyke impression fucking earlier on. Yeah, were you fucking Dick Van Dyke, London accent, like bastard Mary Poppins, wasn't it?
Wasn't Pears.
Boy, that wasn't Pears.
What? Joey Nails.
And the first fan comment I saw was Matt Leeds, is 3-0 Leeds. That's unless there's anybody else from the pod in the comments, because I know we've had Jay during the war. I don't know why he said that, but he has. I think from a perspective of the predictions, I'll just get the rest from the rest of the guys. So I'm going to bring it to a close there. I've got one other thing just to mention, but I'll come to you guys before I do. Anything else that you wanted to say, Smarty?
Nothing. I've said enough, I think, this evening. I've also said enough on Twitter for a few days now. I think I'm tired. I think I'm just gonna get my new dressing gown. I'm a little pipe and just
no, you got a dressing gown?
No, I haven't. I don't want to turn this into another one of them chats. No. I have been looking, but I haven't now.
I've got something I'd just like to ask a question on, and it's around the club stating, and I don't want to go into what's said and who says what and everything, but what's your take on the clubs? I mean, I think professionally the club have got to take this stand based on the fine we got with Brighton, about homophobic slurs and whatever else. What's your take on I don't know how to ask this question without it being actually said.
I know where you're coming from.
I know where you're coming from. Yes.
And it is the chant that we get in it. So we've been told that we need to behave as a fan base, and rightly, I think a lot of fans are going back to that and saying, well, okay, but what about when the opposition fans chant stuff at us? Yeah. And it's asking the questions around a certain Liverpool fan.
He's a Celtic fan as well, isn't he? Liverpool and Celtic.
Even so, I think it's one of those, isn't it, where I think culpability is difficult. And I think you are right. As a, all right, okay, Jay's gone 1-0. I'll just capture that.
Could he not reach the number two?
I think you are right. I think Leeds need to be seen to trying to curb behaviour.
Jay can only go to the first floor.
Leeds are trying to curb the behaviour that the Football League have said is unacceptable. I think that's what they're trying to react to because the Football League have said it's wrong. They need to be seen to be doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's the optics of it rather than anything else. I think the real thinker about it.
Do you think they're worried about getting another fine? Do you think that's why they're putting it out? Because there's always going to be some idiots that start singing, no matter where you go and what you say. It's going to happen.
I'm not sure. I think it might be just trying to preempt some of that because if it does happen and then the Football League go, well, we told you not to do that, Leeds can then go, we've done everything we can. You know, we've told our fans to behave. It's in the emails that we've sent to all our fans.
Yeah.
It's in the, you know, all of the fans that are getting tickets for it are getting this message through to them. What more would you like us to do as a club? You know, Sky have approached Leeds and said, you know, can we bury the hatchet around the chanting that you're doing about Sky? It's like, stop being fucking shit and we'll stop chanting about you being fucking shit.
Stop rearranging fucking games so all us fans have to rearrange travel and hotels and this and the other. We're not just a tiny club in fucking in London. We've got five fans that come from the surrounding areas. We've got fucking people from coming from all sorts of different countries. You absolute
and
wankers.
Reducing our allocation on a Wednesday night in the Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, if you look at the Irish contingent, the Scandinavian contingent, that regularly make those... bless you. Regularly make those pilgrimages to church. It is just fuck off. I think it's the club wanting to position themselves to be able to say that they've done all they can about that more than anything else. But the real stinker, the real kicker for me is the fact that the authorities aren't saying that to our opposition about the chance that our opposition fans are doing. And that's the real stinker for me.
Yeah, fair.
It's all bollocks, isn't it? It's all fluffy bollocks. I said something similar last night. I says, you know, the CRB chant will come out as soon as they start singing about Saville, because they all do. And yes, we make light of it. We sing it back. And two wrongs don't make a right, but Leeds fans don't go around straight into a stadium and start singing Jimmy Savile's, you know, blah, 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 blah. We don't do that. It's a retaliation chant from us. Yeah, we shouldn't probably do it, but at the end of the day, you go. It's tit for tat for banter in a football stadium. You're going to do these little bits of interchanges of songs and whatever else. So, you know, but I agree that the CRB chant shouldn't be sung, but you can absolutely guarantee it will do. But why is that more important or, you know, a worse case than having someone about a bloody predator fucking sung at us for? It shouldn't happen. Yeah, because it's about sexuality or whatever, it might be race or whatever. Yeah, those are really, really bad, but why can't we have something else that's aligned with about the fucking Jimmy Savile sense? But, you know, whatever. We'll sing about Chelsea such and get fined, and they'll sing about Savile and get fuck all. Savile?
Yes.
Savile.
Yeah, well, I don't care about you getting his name wrong. You can fuck off.
Savile,
But anyway. it is that. And it's the hypocrisy. and that it's an unfair slant that's taken on it, where it's like Leeds are shit and everybody else can do what they want.
Apparently not, Bryn. Apparently people are very much free to do whatever they want with regards to that chant. It doesn't matter. There you go.
So on to more positive things.
Yes.
From a podcast, we are in league with Andy's Man Club. And we've spoken at length and we've supported them and they've provided us support and whatever else in terms of things that they've got going on and getting together. And I'm just going to pop up I don't know if this is, this is still relevant. So there's 3rd of March, there's a walk and talk at Roundy Park. Meeting outside Lakeside Cafe for 11 a.m, short walk round and up to Mansion Cafe for a coffee or tea and a chat. But as well as that, we've got the walk coming. As well as that, yeah. It was Carl that grabbed that one and he got wrong bit. It's fine.
Blame Carl, he's not here, an Irish.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So on the 23rd of March, Ought to Know Better and Andy's Man Club are doing a mural walk around Leeds. And we've raised some fantastic... Some of us are. We've raised some... it's only the elderly and infirm that are not. Don't take the piss.
I'm the youngest. Can you believe it? I'm the youngest and the most broken.
We're doing a mural walk, so and we're taking in quite a few of them, and there'll be some pictures shared around the ones, you know, stood in front of them and going, hey, it is an important thing that they do, and the support that they provide people is invaluable to those people that are getting that support, and it's a reminder to people that it's okay to talk and it's okay to not be okay, but don't be on your own. And the monies raised can go towards, you know, further events and bringing people together, and that's what it's about, isn't it? And I think from a standpoint of the walk, it is quite a significant length, and quite a significant length is a thing to behold, isn't it? But it's going to be quite tough, and the monies raised are important, and every penny is fantastic. So we will put it in the socials and we will get it out again. So anybody that can spare anything at all, it's muchly appreciated. And thank you very much for everybody that supported us so far.
Absolutely.
Cool. So we are going to call it there, unless you've thought of any very last minute things that you wish to add.
Just three-starred messages, really, just to go through that. I felt were quite funny and worth mentioning.
What's wrong with your face? Huh? You're going to like you, and then you're like, ugh. Like,
on camera. Mark Wright said, even Rody can do a donkey impression. His talent is on this. Have you seen that, by the way?
I put it on Twitter this morning.
He gets really shy and really, he's like, oh, shit.
He
does.
You know what it is? You know what it is?
No, you know. Yeah, anyway. So that was really funny. He goes, hee-haw. Matt Wright again, actually. Another one. Talking about hot dogs, you've seen the young lad breaking ankles in the under-12s. Yeah, looks absolutely class, doesn't he? I can't remember his name. Better remember it. And then the last one, Matt's just told us that Leicester have been taken to extra time, which is great news.
Nice.
Yeah, very good. Getting them
nice. Very good, very
out.
Nice.
Who are they playing at weekend?
Don't know.
They are playing QPR.
QPR.
Who I expected... No, it's at Leicester, I think. I expected them to be without their best player, but whatever's gone on has not kicked in immediately. So the QPR's best player will be available for them at this point in time, regardless of what the Belgian courts are saying.
Really?
Yes, because bonkers, there's an appeal
crazy.
Going through.
That is mad.
Yes. So wow. QPR will have that player available to them. Let's hope that they can do a job against Leicester. That'd be nice. Leicester have. They've got QPR, Sunderland, Hull, and Saints. The potential for them to, and then Bristol and then Norwich, there are some tough fixtures that they've got left. I think if you look at the fixtures that they've had and that they've got left, a lot of the fixtures they've had this half of the season so far have been lower place sides in the division, and what they've got left is upper place sides in the division. So, just to pick them out, they've got Plymouth have been going well, West Brom have been going well, they're in the playoffs. Preston have kind of turned a corner a bit. They've got Norwich, they've got Saints, they've got Hull, they've got Sunderland. It's not an easy run of fixtures that they've got left, you could see them drop. If they get through that with maximum points, they will absolutely 100% deserve the league. Fair play. It's an interesting one. So we'll see how we get on. We're going to call it there. So thank you very much, everybody. I have been a bit scattergun tonight. I've not really got into the comments, but we do read them all and it does help us move things along. So thank you to everybody getting involved in the comments, and thank you to you two for being a part of it.
Thank you very much for having us on.
It was a pleasure.
See you soon.
Leeds.
See you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to another Auto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @AutoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts. With 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.